Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Casthetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at casthetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to another episode of Casthetic. I am your host, Keaton Buse, and we got a lovely day, evening, whatever time it is for you, of music for the next unspecified amount of time. So here it is. We'll get right into it with Graham Stone, who's our lovely guest today. He's got pretty hair.
Thanks
we'll ask him about hair in a moment.
Oh, God.
But here's his first song. It's Canyonlands.
Blankets of rain on the horizon, red rocks and desert sage, plateau wide and endless, and the sun across the clay. It's a hard wind blowing, so tied down the covered low, move past the gated fences, way out on the open road again. It's 100 miles to Moab, following the power line. In the distance, lightning flashes on a highway, the engine whines. Once again, it's southbound Utah, under a blue and orange sky, where the hills rise in defiance of the winding railway line, the railway line. That rain looks like a typhoon from 15 miles out, and it casts so great a shadow underneath the mushroom cloud. And that water tower's lonely, keeping watch over this ghost town. Mercy rises with the morning, come and lay your burden down, your burden down, down. Come and lay your burden, lay your burden down, down.
Canyonlands by Graham Stone. How are you doing today? Doing good?
Good, man. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. So, on to the hair. First question. We got to get it out of here.
Do we?
Shampoo, conditioner, one bottle or separate bottles?
Neither.
Neither.
Yeah.
Oh, all natural.
Coconut oil.
Oh, coconut oil.
And hot water.
Oh, man. Smells like a Jimmy Buffett song on your head.
Come over here, man.
All right, So let's get into some talking about some music. It's on Canyonlands. You mentioned me before we sat down and you recorded that you wrote this song while you were on the road last summer, mm-hmm. seeing our country of America. Which particular leg of that trip inspired this song?
So driving through Utah, we had kind of a long stretch of road. So it was just one of those kind of pretty flat, you know, highways that you're just sitting on. But it was super cool because you could look across just like this vast desert and see these huge red rocks, you know, kind of in the distance. And there was this like, there was this really intense from where the rain started and stopped. So we were driving looking at a storm, not in the storm though. So it was pretty cool.
It's just off in the horizon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's beautiful country.
Yeah, right, it really was. It really was.
P.
That's
with
right. Yep.
Ken over here.
A new EP with the illustrious Ken Barnum.
Got any cool stories from that? I know you've worked on it with some of your friends and family you've worked with before, and Carl and the Brotherhood.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So that's been one of the coolest parts about this project, is just kind of like the collaboration aspect. Because the way this project started was like kind of just an offshoot. You know, I'd been talking to Ken and like, man, when are we going to do some more music? You know? And I was like, well, I don't really think that like we're at the point, you know, with the Carla and the Brotherhood to be able to put anything out. We were all living in different places. You know, me and Carla are down in Richmond, and Clayton, I think, had just moved down, but Jordan was still up here. So at the time it was kind of like, yeah, like we haven't really been practicing. We don't really have time to put towards that, but I have like a ton of songs that I've written that I would love to get recorded. So as I kind of entered into the project, I was able to use all these people. You know, I had my dad, three of my brothers. I had Ken. I had Ken's brother, my buddy Austin, my buddy Sam, my buddy Keelan, my friend Sue. My wife sang on like, you know, almost all the songs. So it was just really, really cool to kind of put it together like from a producer standpoint. Because it's like, you know, as you hear in the songs now, this is just like what it sounds like with me and a guitar. But like to make it kind of its own project was really, I learned a lot.
So. Add those extra layers.
Totally.
Bring out a lot.
Yeah.
What would you say is the most exciting feature you have looking forward to this album that you probably haven't done on any recording before?
Well, I mean, all of this I haven't done on any recording before, but I'm really excited. My friend Keelan played some lap steel or pedal steel on one of the songs, and my friend Sue plays fiddle. She actually plays like Irish fiddle. That's kind of like what she does at Colonial Williamsburg, and you know, she's just incredible. And so to get her and actually have her come and play on this was really special to me.
Wow. Some Irish fit lap steel guitar.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to hearing that.
It'll be cool.
So you said that you and your siblings from Carla and Brotherhood have, and
got everybody down to Richmond. Jordan's in Richmond now. He's actually living with me now, with us, but he just found his own spot. So he's moving out in like a week or two.
And then you also have the project Whiskey Wells.
That's right, well. Yeah. So that's with me and my wife, Aubrey, when we play out together. And then Sam, who I mentioned before, and Austin as well, they play with us, Sam Griffith and Austin Isaac.
So you pretty much can put together your whole like build-up show. You open up solo, you got Whiskey Wells in the middle,
right.
Your smaller group,
I never
and then
thought
your
of
big
that.
Band, Carl
I
and
never
the
thought of that. I never thought of that. That's possible.
So boom,
possible.
There you go.
That'd be a lot of work.
That takes care of your booking.
Right, exactly.
So what was your big inspiration for this new album? Did you have a big inspiration? Did you go on? Was this cross-country trip your songwriting journey for this album?
It absolutely was, and not kind of like intentionally. The way it worked out, so I've been writing songs since I was a kid. You know, like I remember, honestly, it was probably around 13 years old was when I first picked up my grandma's guitar. And I remember the songs just started pouring out. You know, I had finally found like, this is my canvas, you know, like I have a way to, you know, kind of create now. And the songs that I've written always come out kind of more like stories than, you know, songs. I think I'm much more of like a storyteller than a musician actually. And it's not something I consciously think about so much as I just know that I need to do it. I've always kind of had that. So there's some kind of like cathartic release when I'm able to write. And so I don't think I'll ever stop writing, and I wouldn't have even if this project, I think, had ever come out. But it was really cool that, you know, because it's tough to find a place for these kind of songs in Carlin the Brotherhood, or the Whiskey Wells. I mean, certainly, like, we'll play, you know, some of the songs here we'll play in groups, but there just seemed to be like this need for like a separate offshoot of expression for this like stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, let's get on to five questions.
Sure.
Little segment we have on the show. I ask five questions, everyone gets asked, and yeah, so here it is. Cue the music. It's time for five questions. What's the worst gig you ever had?
Oh man, the worst gig? We were playing a festival, and this was with Carlin the Brotherhood. We were playing a festival in the Shenandoah Valley, and the sound was not, we could not get it right. I mean, we had a sound check, and there was a sound guy, and I still can't figure it. Like, one of the monitors stopped working, and then so everything, there was just so much feedback. It was painful. We got through it somehow, but it hurt.
All right, what's the worst equipment malfunction you had during a show?
This is not an equipment malfunction, but I drove all the way to the mountains to play a brewery without my guitar. So this was with my wife. This was with the Whiskey Wells. We were playing at Blue Mountain, and we get there and we set up the whole PA, and I'm like, I don't have my guitar.
When you're walking out the door, you're like, phone check, I had the keys.
Yeah.
Were you able to find a guitar?
Yes, it was. And I put, like, you know, I just basically started texting anyone who I knew in Charlottesville or the surrounding areas. But everybody's like, hey, man, sorry. Like, I'm here. I'm at work or whatever. So I actually drove to town. I drove to Charlottesville and picked one up from a music shop and drove back out and played the gig. So made it work.
The day was saved.
Yeah, yeah. And my brother Clayton needed a guitar, so he's hung on to that. We kept it.
So. All right, what's the dirtiest or scariest place you've stayed while on tour?
Okay. Well, this is a story from while me and my wife were out on the road last summer, and we stayed in some sketchy spots. We also stayed in some really beautiful ones. But, and you might not look, you know, might not think about this, like, looking at me, but I am a shower guy. Like, I love my hot, long showers. And it was nice, you know, we had a couple, like we bathed in Lake Michigan on a summer morning, and there were stretches where we didn't shower for days. And there was a particularly seedy Walmart parking lot in Reno, Nevada, and there was a 24-hour, like, slot machine, you know, basically like an establishment where people could just go, and like 2 o'clock in the morning, there's vomit in the parking lot. You know what I mean? And people still coming out and going in, and we were sleeping in our minivan. So that was pretty sketch.
So outside a Walmart / casino.
Yeah. In Reno, Nevada. Yeah.
What's the closest you've come to quitting music?
Oh man. Like I said, I don't think I could ever quit. But I have been forced to, like, kind of take breaks, you know, or to sort of put stuff on the back burner. And I feel like I've been doing that for a couple years now. You know, even kind of while playing stuff with the Brotherhood and stuff, it's just, to be able to do like a specific project that you kind of have in mind has been really, really cool to kind of get the opportunity with this EP to just be like, you know what? I want to see what happens here. Like, I have these things and I know they're somehow separate, right? That, like, there, it's not Carlin the Brotherhood and it's not Whiskey Wells. It's like, how do I give a voice to that? And like, what does that look like?
All right.
That wasn't the question you asked, but I answered that first and then ran.
No, it's good. It makes sense. You know, you take yourself out of that for a bit to express what you had outside of it.
Yeah.
Outside of the bands.
Yeah.
No, it makes sense. All right. What's the best memory you have playing music?
Oh gosh, honestly, sitting at, so my mom, her house is in Manassas, and we used to just, all my brothers, we would sit out back on the back porch and have a little fire and just play music sitting around. I mean, there's just the amount of just like beautiful moments where that music has been a part of. I mean, I met my wife at Merlefest in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, and like it was raining, and you know, we saw so many great acts, and the Avett Brothers closed it out, you know, and it was just like, you know, and then anytime you're out camping and you have the chance to like play music with your friends, I mean, and even just like being in Richmond and kind of, you know, playing at breweries and having your friends come out and just everybody hanging out and having a good time, you know, it's beautiful, and like the opportunity to do that is just really, really cool.
With that beautiful statement, let's get a beautiful song going. It's Free and Homeward by Graham Stone.
Riding in West Virginia, putting as many miles as I can. In between these mountains and the heart of a dying man. Early in the morning, the rooster crowed, but I was gone. Running fast from that rising sun, oh, I knew I'd done no wrong. Done no wrong. They overtook me up at Harper's Ferry, where they hung old John Brown, near the railroad line, beneath the bluffs. I stood out on open ground. But they had me surrounded from the north, south, east, and west. Two pearl-handled pistols I drew slowly from my vest. I said, I ain't got a mind to kill no man if you just leave me on my own. But they just laughed and said, listen, boy, you know we come here to take you home. But that's not my home, no, no. It's not mine, oh, it's not mine, oh, it's not mine, oh, it's not mine, oh, yeah. So my thumbs pulled back the hammers, and I knew what must be done. But I felt no peace inside my soul, for I'd never killed no one. Up the mountain walls and saw a hawk soaring to the sky. We're free and homeward towards the sun, and I closed both my eyes. And I remember the story of Jericho, battles won when no hope was found. So I prayed to the Lord for a miracle, and all the rocks came falling down on my down. Lord, falling down, yeah, falling down, falling down, falling down, falling down. To this day, buried beneath the stones, but had no pity on my soul, for I'm free and I am home.
That was Free and Homeward by Graham Stone. Is there a story behind that song?
Not so much a story. I mean, I wrote it on a weekend. My wife and I remember just kind of like escaped town and went up to Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. And it was in the middle, it was like February, it was like middle of winter. And I remember this feeling that we were kind of like on the run or in hiding somehow. There's snow on the ground. There was absolutely nobody in town. Like we, you know, we had the whole place to ourselves. It was awesome. We stayed at this little bed and breakfast. We walked down to like a lot of the historic areas down there. And then we took this, hike up that takes you to the top of the bluffs, you know, where you can kind of see the tracks and where the rivers meet and stuff. Yeah. And I just absolutely loved that weekend in Harper's Ferry, and the story just kind of, you know, flowed out when we got back to the B&B.
Yeah. Beautiful. That's a beautiful area too.
It really is, man.
What, got any shows coming up?
I do. So in August, I'm playing at Devil's Backbone, the base camp. That's August 5th. For the Northern Virginia people, I'll be at Old Busthead Brewery. That's August 26th. And then September 2nd, I'm playing at Jamfish 2017. So that's a Saturday.
And social medias.
Yep, everything is set up. Everything is Graham Stone Music.
Graham Stone Music.
That's right.
Pretty easy for all you internet savvy people out there to find. You know, you found this show, you can find that.
That's right.
That's what search bars are for. I only got a couple shows to tell all you listeners out there about. First off, open mics. I know you're probably tired of me drilling it into your head, but open mics are important. It's a great way to like see your local musicians perform stuff you don't normally see at regular shows, events, bars, what have you, wherever you go see music. So go open mics. My favorite one is every Thursday night at Epicure Cafe. They also have one on Monday night, which is a great time. Highly recommend it. As far as shows go, the first show I have to tell you about is Azura is having an album release at Epicure Cafe on August 5th. That's going to be an epic album. They've been working very hard at it. And then the Daycare Swindlers have a couple shows coming up on July 11th and August 5th. That July 11th one is at Fat Tuesdays, and that August 5th one is at Jam and Java, celebrating their 20-year history of rocking our asses off. So, that'll be a great time. Those are the only shows I have to tell you about, but I'm sure there will be more shows coming as we progress further down this timeline we are progressing. Big thank you to Kim Barnum and Mark Ryder for recording and mixing and, you know, making us just feel splendid. Big thank you for Bias Studios for having us, letting us use their lovely facilities. They have top-notch recordings coming out of here all the time, so go check them out online if you're looking for a little recording spot. We got one more song. Oh, wait. Before I get that song, let me plug the social media real quick. Be sure to go on Facebook and like Cass Aesthetic at Kim Barnum Music. Or, no, at Kim Barnum on Twitter and Instagram. At Mark Ryder Music on Twitter and Instagram. Follow them. Follow the Cass Aesthetic Instagram. We post pictures and videos occasionally. Now, on to the final song of tonight's very special episode. Until the Day, I believe it's the song title.
That's right.
Anything you want to say about this song?
No, it'll speak for itself.
Bold, exciting. So here it is. Let it speak for itself. It's Until the Day by Graham Stone. I'm Keaton Buse. I'll be back in a couple weeks with some more music. Here you go. Enjoy.
Fall in Virginia, won't you hold me tight? Carry me through to the morning light. Tell me, darling, if touched his eyes, give me a sign. And let me hear you say it can be found, can be found. On another day, in another time, another time. I hear you calling from the trees. What will be my love will be. Let the mountains fall in the sea. Lord, take this all away from me. And let me, you say, oh, come unbound, son, come unbound. To meet the day, don't stay down, can't stay down. So dark it's been for all these years, living alone with all my fears. Show me the smoke in all of me, yeah. Or will this illusion keep me? Though I can hardly breathe, I'm howling at the moon. And if I ever see you again, it'd be too soon. I pack my bags and head out west. I feel you tight and in my chest. Lord, lay me down, let me rest. Until the day comes around, comes around. When I will lay buried in the ground, deep in the ground. Until the day, until the day. Until the day, until the day, until the day.